I appreciated what Brother Maya said. Those old landmarks. Those landmarks gives us the places to mark on your spiritual GPS to lead you and guide you where you need to go. And I love singing some of the old songs out of the hymn books. Love that. And not that some of the modern songs and choruses we sing doesn't have meaning, but there's something more about something that you've experienced and you hold on to because it has a foundational truth to it. Amen. I want something that has a foundational truth to it. In my walk with God, something I know is going to be there not only today, it's going to be there tomorrow. And if God tarries, it's going to be there the day after. Amen? I want to be a part of a church that's just in love with, as much in love with Jesus today and tomorrow and the next day the Lord tarries. I want to come to a Sunday to a church that I know is solid and upon a foundation that's not going to be moved. Believes in the authority of the power of the name and of the blood and of the word, which is substance and truth. That if I feel like I'm slipping, I can grab a hold of it and hold on to it. Churches today are not perhaps offering that. They're not offering a word that you can hold on to. I don't want to be a pastor that walks up to the platform in my softball or baseball cleats. This is coming from a softball game or a baseball game in my uniform and talk to you about ball scores or statistics of who hit the most or whatever. I want to come to the platform by the grace of God and tell you about what will help you to make it from this life to the next. What's going to help you, amen, when you're going through your valley, your discouragement, what you can hold on to, it's going to be truth. Not only today, but truth for tomorrow and the next day. It's a powerful thing is to be born again of water and spirit, but then when you're born, then to be raised up in a sure foundation, a sure truth that is forming and shaping your life. That whatever you go through in this natural life, it will not affect your spiritual walk and your spiritual relationship with God. Because one of these days, we all are going to meet Him face to face. Amen? I want to be ready that if I falter, to know that I have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus our Lord, that's making intercession for us day and night. And I can go to Him and say, Father, I have sinned, I have failed You. And the Bible says that if we confess our faults and our sins, He will forgive you. Because He's making intercession for you both day and night. Amen. It's not a license to go out and sin all the time. No, it's not. But it is a truth we need to hold on to. And I was thinking about something that before we had revival with Brother Easter. Brother Easter did a fantastic job in bringing the Word of God, talking about the name. And especially on the last night about the blood. I'd spoken about the blood about a week or two before He came. The blood of Jesus Christ is the subject of the Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, the power of the blood, the authority of the blood. Amen? And it's a foundational truth. It's one of the old landmarks. And it is something that we need to absorb into our mind and our thinking and our lives to understand that the power of the blood, that you have the ability to plead the blood of Jesus Christ with faith in that blood. He has given us that blood, given us that authority. And the blood is applied to our lives through the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot have the blood without the name, or the name without the blood. It is that substance of foundational truth. In a book printed some 60 years ago, it tells a story about a man who started his own church. A church without Jesus Christ. Can you even imagine? It's happening in the world today. People are forming a religion, and they do not include the Creator of heaven and earth. They'll find some other object or subject. And as it seems, the world is turning away. My wife and I was having a conversation about the condition of the world that we live in. And I'm saying, well, we are experiencing what our children or the younger group have been taught in school or in college by those who no longer trust and believe in the authority of God or the Word of God. And so now we have got a generation that is raised up who is now is running the governments of the city or of the state or of the nation, who do not hold to the old landmarks or hold to the truth or the foundational things that held this country together as a nation under God, who believed in the authority and the power of God. So we scratch our head and wonder, why is the nation going down the tube? Why is there such anarchy going on in this awesome United States of America? Because they've lost the foundational truth. They've lost the benchmark by which life is measured by. How a man treats his neighbor, or how a family treats one another, how life is supposed to be held in sacred sacrament. And so we are being surrounded by leaders and by people who no longer have a compass on the way to truth and life and happiness. They no longer feel there's a pursuit. You work it out yourself. You make your own happiness. You make your own life. You do your own thing, your own way, your own purpose. That's what the devil was trying to get Eve to do. Have a life without God. I'm going to say it again. Have a life without God's influence in the life. He messed up what God had said to Eve. And Eve was so enthralled with the surroundings of this creation. She really didn't sort out what Satan had said to her. He has changed a few words. Change a few things on the compass of life. Until she succumbed to what was being said to her. We can't afford in this day and hour, in the coming closing day, in the age of the church, to fumble around, to miss the mark, to hold true to the foundation. I like Hebrews chapter 11 because it tells us about those in those days who believed God, who understood what the substance of things was about when it came to faith. Believing on things that they could not see, but believing as they were true. They would receive their dead back to life. They would go through all kinds of problems or tortures, but never gave up upon the truth of life, that God is always in charge. that God is always in the one who makes the arrangements of our life if we put our life in the hands of God. So this man who decided to start a church and not include Jesus Christ, the story, when you read it, is bizarre. And I'll tell you, it is disturbing. But in the end, the man who started a church without Jesus, closing chapter of the book, he finds Jesus. If you want to find Jesus Christ this morning, you must find him through his blood, because the life is in the blood. And if you're going to have life in the blood, you've got to have the name, which is the authority of all things. In my scripture this morning, found in Psalms chapter 9 and verse number 12, I'm going to read this to you in the King James. Then I'm going to read it to you in two other translations as well. Suffice it to say that the King James version of this scripture is what we're going to hold to, but the others will help to enlighten it a little more. It says in Psalms 9 and 12, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. In the Amplified version, it says, for he who avenges the blood of his people shed unjustly remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted, the poor, the humble. In the New International Version, the NIV, it says, for he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. And so this scripture speaks of how God watches over the suffering. He's the one who finds justice for those treated unjustly. But I lift two words from this text this morning. And these two words are blood remembers. I want to instill with inside of you an understanding this morning. God wants you to know that there are that foundational truths. Whatever you're going through in your life, whatever you're facing in your life as a child of God, that God remembers. His blood remembers. So I would say to you this morning, this one thought, two words, wise blood. God's blood is wise. It remembers all that you go through in life. The odds were 1 in 6 billion. That almost is that of the lottery today, I think. They got this big mega million billion thing coming up. Yes, we will accept your tithes. To get that out of the way. We've got a building to build over here. Odds were 1 in 6 billion. This girl had a 1 in 6 billion miracle happen to her. That's what people are calling Demi Lee Brennan. Now, Demi Lee was living in Australia. She's a living, walking miracle. In my time of ministry, I've seen God do awesome things. I've seen crooked fingers straighten, crooked feet straightened, legs unable to function, be healed. And a person who had those legs run like the wind. Miracles should not be foreign to us. Whatever the odds may be, whatever it says, it seems to be impossible. Miracles do happen. But this 15-year-old, when she contracted this virus, destroyed her liver and immune system. Demi Lee was put on a liver transplant list and finally was accepted. There was a liver that was found and surgery was performed and she received this new liver. Two remarkable things happened when Demi received this liver. First, her blood type changed from her old O negative to the donor's O positive. Second, somehow the stem cells from the donor's liver made their way into her bone marrow that helps produce the blood. And when they got there, those stem cells transformed her immune system such she became immune to every virus faced and conquered by the liver donor. Because of this, she does not need to take immune suppressants for her body to accept the donated organ. Why? The donor's immune system had become her own. Someone says, "He did it all for me." Somebody here needs to say, "Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, He did it all for me." 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ laid down His life and shed His blood for you, for me, for the will, for the world, or for whosoever will. He did it all for you at the cross of Calvary. His royal blood now changes what flows through our lives when you're born again of water and of spirit. And the glory of faith in His name and the victory accomplished at Calvary condenses into this mantra: what He conquered, we can conquer as well. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Because His blood remembers. I simply want to tell you this morning, an overlooked subject sometimes we forget about. If you have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then the blood covers your life. This subject is not merely a neglected subject. Sometimes it is an avoided subject. Songwriters today avoid the subject of the blood. Preachers today in a lot of churches avoid speaking about the blood. There was a day when we claimed the blood of Jesus. There was a day we prayed by pleading the blood of Jesus. Meaning that every miracle, every wonder, every answered prayer is through the blood of Jesus Christ. I've never seen a study of it, but I suspect that we could compare our songs and our sermons with those of generations that's gone by and find very little mention of blood of Jesus Christ in them. But I'm so thankful we can sing some old foundational songs that there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. There is power and authority in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, by ignoring the blood, we commit the same sin as the men of Beth Shemesh committed in 1 Samuel chapter 6. The Ark of the Covenant had been taken in battle by the Philistines. They took that Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, and put it in their little shrine where their god, Dagon, was enshrined. By the next morning, Dagon, their god, had fallen on his face. They propped their god back up, and he fell down again. After being disappointed by their god, there's a lot of people being disappointed by their god of this world. Let me say it again. There's a lot of people that's being disappointed by the god that they put their trust in, of wood and stone and fabric or imagination. But you take the God, which is God above all gods, in spirit and in truth, is a power of authority like you've never seen before anywhere else. See, why are you telling us this story, Pastor? Well, because the Philistines wisely decided to send the offending object back to Israel. When the Israelites saw the ark coming back, they rejoiced. The men of Beth Shemesh lifted the golden mercy seat from the ark. If you know anything about the Ark of the Covenant, it was a box of shittim wood overlaid with gold. But one of the most important things, besides the golden cherubims that was turned in on the ends of the box, looking inward, they was looking at the golden seat that was there, which was called the mercy seat. When these men of Bethshina lifted the golden mercy seat off of the ark, for a brief moment, the blood-stained mercy seat, this seat that the high priest would go into once a year, walk in with the blood of the sacrificial lamb, facing towards the door of the tabernacle, which was facing east. He would take that thumb and finger and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on that golden seat. That blood was representing atonement for the mercy of God. And when these men, who was curious to look inside that ark, took that mercy seat off of that ark, it tells us in God's anger for them removing the mercy seat of the covering of the blood of the law, 50,000 people died that day. All because they mess with the mercy seat. You don't mess with the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't mess with his blood. You don't mess with what God has forgiven and put under the blood. You don't mess with somebody's life that's asked for forgiveness and God has given them forgiveness. You don't lift up their life and look inside. I'm going to tell you, judgment will come upon you. They ask, who is able to stand before this holy God? The covering of the blood appeared indispensable in answering that question. To paraphrase the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 26, remove the blood and there remains no sacrifice for sin. Only through Christ's sacrifice at Calvary is the covering found. I want to say this morning. You say, well, you're getting old and you're becoming an old-time preacher. I'm happy for it. I want to stand on the foundation of truth. I want to stand upon what is going to keep you today and tomorrow, and if God tarries until he returns back for a church. You've got to stay under the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to bring the blood back. Bring the blood back. Bring the blood back. I can't make it on my own righteousness. But if I walk in the light as he's the light, the blood cleanses. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. Peter says it's precious blood in 1 Peter 1 and 19. John describes it as an overcoming blood in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with the blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Our life is in the blood, church. God said to Israel, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Exodus 12 and 13. He did not say, when I see your goodness. He didn't say, when I see your morality. He didn't say, when I see your works. He didn't say, when I see your worship. But when I see the blood, don't forget, the blood remembers. The blood is wise. Blood is mentioned in the Bible about 700 times. From Genesis to Revelation, blood is the scarlet thread that connects everything together. The ransom throng in heaven sings this one song. It sings about the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Who washed you from your sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. When you go down in that watery grave by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, it is the blood that washes away your sins by the authority of that name. Don't forget about the blood. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's a question this morning. Amen. We also sing about the power found in the blood. Compare the words love and atonement in Scripture. Search it out. Love is mentioned 290 times in the New Testament. Atonement, Christ's work at Calvary, is referred to 1,300 times. Thank God for the love of God, but even more for the atonement of his blood that washes away our sins. The blood is all throughout the Bible. And wherever blood is, there is power. Trace the scarlet thread of blood in Scripture. Find its power. For example, Genesis 3 and 21, blood was shed in the garden to cover Adam and Eve. An innocent lamb was slain to cover the sin, the bodies of Adam and Eve. So we can say that blood covers. Somebody say amen. Amen. Noah's sacrifice preceded the rainbow. The blood is the precursor to the grace of God. In Genesis 9 and 13, blood on the doorpost in that old land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were prospered by God, protected the occupants within. The blood protects when they put the blood on the doorpost and the mantle of the house they lived in. Amen. A lamb slain on the day of atonement rolled away the sins of the nations in Numbers 15 and 25. The lamb, God takes away the sins of the world, Romans 3, 25. So the blood saves. The power of God's love is revealed in the blood. I do not believe there is a word in the Bible that Satan fears more than the word blood. You want to keep him away from your kids, plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon them. You want to keep Satan away from your house, plead the blood of Jesus Christ in your house. Oh, there is power in the blood. There is magnetic power in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you were sometimes afar off, Paul said, are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. It's magnetic. It pulls you. Ephesians 2 and 13. Prayer, power. We have boldness. The writer of Hebrews said, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 and 19. How do I get into the holiness of holies? Through the blood. Purchasing power. Jesus purchased us with his own blood. Acts 20 and 28. Living power. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17 and 11. Since blood is the river of life. Every day of our life, our body, 100 trillion cells receive continuous supplies of oxygen, nitrogen, sodium, potassium, calcium, sugar, hormones through the blood. Without the blood, nothing can pass through to you. It is the deliverer of hope and life. We have life in the blood that Jesus Christ shed at Calvary's cross. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. Cleansing power. We are cleansed by the blood. 1 John 1 and 7. Same blood that brings life takes out the trash. I read in Revelations that overcoming believers have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7 and 14. You want to have a clean robe? Wash it in the blood of the Lamb. Healing power, blood vessels stretch end to end, can reach 60,000 miles. Each drop of blood comes equipped with its own repair kit. Loaded its cargo, red blood cells, white blood cells. Latter is the repair kit. The blood of Jesus comes with healing power. The Bible says that with the stripes on his back, we are healed. 1 Peter 2, 24. Healing comes through the blood of the Lamb. Because of his shed blood, you can be saved this morning. Because of his shed blood, you can be healed this morning. Because of his shed blood, you can be delivered this morning from whatever plagues you. But there's another aspect of this blood as I'm coming to a close. Because I want you to understand the blood of Christ remembers. Wise blood. The blood has antibiotics that are built up over years because of previous fights. Previous conflicts. Centuries has gone by. And all that the world has ever gone through, the blood remembers. You may not remember having mumps, but your blood does. You may have forgotten measles, but your blood doesn't. There's an old Irish proverb that says, blood remembers what the mind forgets. The blood knows. Two verses found in Hebrews intrigue me in this area. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Anyway, that I am tempted, Jesus was already tempted. And he won the fight. He was tempted, but he triumphed. The second verse is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 18. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he conquered. He faced each temptation and he triumphed. His blood squared off with every obstacle, and he won. Now his blood comes to our assistance to give us victory. His victory becomes our victory. Within salvation is the opportunity to succeed, because Christ succeeded. You have been inoculated against failure because he never failed. You have been immunized against disappointment. You are vaccinated against condemnation. Let any of the temptation Jesus faced come your way. Within you is the power to resist that temptation. Why? You've been immunized by the blood that remembers. Let me put it like this way this morning. Suppose a man walked into the streets of Warsaw, pulled out a gun in view of many people and shot someone. The police, they show up. He confessed to doing it. There are a dozen of eyewitnesses to it, but the police let him go free. Why would they do such a thing? Let me give you one more bit of information. The man who pulled the trigger was an ambassador from another country. As such, he has diplomatic immunity. Now that's extreme, I have to admit this morning. Maybe too simplistic an example. But the point prevails that through the blood of Jesus, we are citizens of another world. We are here in this world, and the power of our sovereign supersedes what we face here in this life. Hang on. Does this provide us a hall pass to sin? No, God forbid. Does it mean we will not sin? I wish it was so. But what it does do is make available the power of the blood. Because you have been born again and a citizen of another world, you have a right to the blood. I'm speaking to the church this morning. I'm speaking to the church this morning. Anybody at the church here this morning? That doesn't mean the walls or the girders. Doesn't mean the lights hanging from the ceiling or the chairs you're sitting in. It's about you. I said it's about you. I said it's about you. Sometimes you're not as strong as you should be because you think about all the things that you have not done or kept up with. Kept yourself spiritually strong. And the adversary comes along in your weakened condition. All you need is a blood transfusion. Come on, all you need is get another flow of the blood. Come on, let those molecules that never forget. Come on, let the power of the blood that never, 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 never forgets. That greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on. Come on, some of you need a transfusion. Roll up your sleeve. Better than that, stick up your hands. Yeah, come on. We're not talking about a needle in your arm and let the blood of this natural thing. I'm talking about stick up your hand at the flow of the Spirit. Let the flow of the power of God. Come on, just little love here. Come on. Get renewed in the Holy Ghost. What do you think the Bible talks about? Get renewed in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Get renewed in the Holy Ghost. Get renewed in the Holy Ghost. Come on. It's a transfusion of the power of God. The times that we get weak in our life, get weak in our spirit, get weak in the struggle we struggle through. God, I just need a little infusion here. Back in the day when I was playing basketball and I'd go to the doctor the day of. I'm talking about back in high school. I was on the starting five. I just come out of that era from the time that you did it like this, make a free throw. To learn to perfect the jump shot. It's all in the wrist and the follow through. Had a game coming up. I'd go to the doctor. Doc, I need some giddy up and go. I'd roll up my sleeve. And she, this was a lady doctor, she'd bring out a big needle. And give me a shot of B12. Anybody had a shot of B12? Woo! You can run up and down those floors. Never get tired. Let me tell you something. You're going through something right now, you need to run. Say, God, I need a transfusion. I need a renewal. I need more power. I've got to run this race. I've got to complete my course. I need a little strength and power. There we go. Let's stand together, lift our hands together. Come on. Come on. Let's lift our hands together. You see, when Demi Lee Bremen received the donor liver, she also received the immune system from the one that donated the liver. The donor was a young man. He did not have some of the problems. Woo! Don't worry about the blood of Jesus. No more vaccinations are needed. Don't you give up on your life, because greater is my God than anything that you're facing right now in your life. His blood has the power. I said His blood has the power to stop Satan, stop the disease of sin, to give you an infusion of the glory of the grace of God. Wow. This young lady got a miracle, 1 in 6 billion, they said. The blood that remembers the temptations faced and the victories won. Let me tell you, to those that's never been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, you can receive that power of the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. And I would encourage you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, to have that blood cover your life, cover your past, take care of the future. Get rid of the weight that you've been bearing and carrying, and the concern that's in the back of your mind and your spirit that's weighing you down. Come to the waters and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, for you that's been born again in water and spirit and you're struggling, I'm here to tell you by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, the foundational truth. You need to get an infusion of worship back into your life again. Let the power of the blood of Jesus Christ lift you up, pick you up, amen. Help you to run the race. The blood remembers. There was not one thing that Jesus was tempted in that you're not tempted in, but He was an overcomer. We, you and I, are overcomers by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Let's worship Him again. Come on.